You are listening to a podcast from becomingjewish.org. Please visit us at www.becomingjewish.org. The title of this podcast is Jewish Marriage Practices. The concept of marriage in Judaism is that of an ideal state of personal existence. A man without a wife or a woman without a husband is considered incomplete. According to Halakha, engagement, known as shidduchin, is defined as the mutual promise between a man and a woman to marry at some future time, and the terms on which the marriage will take place. This engagement may be made by the man and woman, or by representatives such as parents or other relatives. Traditionally, engagements are brought about by a third person, a matchmaker. The process is one of arranging introductions, and not necessarily arranging marriages. If one of the parties objects to becoming engaged, they cannot be forced into the engagement. It has become a tradition to hold a festivity known as a vort soon after the couple announces their engagement. This vort is attended by family and friends and serves as a formal announcement of the family's intentions of wedding their children to one another. Someone is asked to say a Devar Torah, which is a brief Torah lesson, on behalf of the bride and the groom and their families. It is customary for the groom to give his bride a gift, usually an engagement ring, but sometimes a coin. The bride traditionally gives her groom a talit and a kittel. The bride and groom may also give each other watches. It is also customary in some Jewish communities for the bride's father to give the groom a talmud. According to Halakha, marriage consists of two separate acts, called erusin, also known as kiddushin, and nisuin. Traditionally, these two acts were separate and distinct, but today in most communities, they generally occur on the same day. The erusin is the betrothal ceremony, and the nisuin is the actual marriage ceremony. The erusin is a time when the ketubah, or marriage contract, was signed, and the man and woman are formally engaged. The ketubah is a special type of prenuptial agreement that is integral to Jewish marriage. The ketubah outlines the rights and responsibilities of the groom in relation to the bride. The ketubah formalizes the requirement of the husband vis-à-vis his wife. The requirements include the provision of adequate resources for dress, food, and shelter, providing the wife with regular sexual intercourse, and the amount of money due to the wife in case of divorce or the death of the husband. The Gemara describes the Baracha of Birkas Erusin recited at the time that the Erusin is performed. The Baracha mentions that Hashem prohibited us to the Arios, immoral unions, and that He prohibited us to the Arosos, engaged and married, and that He permitted us to the Nesios, when they become our full-fledged wives, when the Chuppah is performed. The status of the man and woman is now changed, and they are forbidden to become engaged to anyone else. If the couple decides not to get married, then the man must give the woman a get, a divorce document, in order for the erusin to be formally dissolved. Traditionally, the erusin took place 1 year before the nisuin. This offered time for the man to prepare a home and save money and goods for the new home he would share with his wife. Marriage is a legal contract, according to Halakha, that is willingly entered into by both bride and groom. The wedding ceremony takes place under a chuppah, a wedding canopy. A few days before the ceremony, the bride immerses in the mikveh, thereby entering married life in a holy state. On the Sabbath before her wedding, the custom of Shabbat Kalah, the bride's Sabbath, takes place. During the celebration, the bride will spend time with her friends. On the wedding day, the bride recites the confessional prayer from the Day of Atonement. In addition, she fasts until after the ceremony. On the Sabbath before the wedding, an arufruf takes place in the synagogue. This is a time when the groom, and in non-Orthodox synagogues, this can also include the bride, is honored with an aliyah, a blessing and reading of the Torah. After his recitation of the aliyah, it is customary to throw candies and nuts at the groom. Like the bride, the groom also fasts until after the wedding ceremony. At Mincha, the afternoon prayer service, he also recites the confessional prayer from the Day of Atonement. Just prior to the wedding, a celebration called the Kabbalat Panim takes place. The groom is surrounded by his male guests, where it is customary at this time for the groom to give a Talmudic discourse. The groom is then escorted to his bride, where he performs the custom of veiling the bride. This custom also involves those assembled reciting the blessings given to Rebekah by her mother and brother. It is also a tradition for the groom's father to bless him and the bride's father to bless her with a priestly blessing before the ceremony. The wedding procession begins with the arrival of the rabbi and continues as the groom's attendants walk to the chuppah. His parents escort the groom to the chuppah, where he is greeted by the chazan. The parents assist the groom with putting on his kittel, and he awaits his bride. The bride's attendants then proceed to the chuppah, after which the bride's parents escort her to the chuppah, where she is greeted by the chazan. She then walks under the chuppah and circles the groom. The eros scene begins with the rabbi reciting the two blessings of eros scene and the drinking of wine by the bride and groom from the same cup. Then the groom places a plain ring on his bride's right index finger after he recites the declaration of eros scene. After the ring is given, the couple's betrothed and eros scene is concluded. Nisuin begins with the reading of the ketubah that is written in Aramaic by a sofer, a scribe. The ketubah details the husband's obligation to his wife, including financial compensation to the wife if the marriage ends in divorce or death. After the ketubah is read, it is presented to the groom, who presents it to the bride. Next, a second cup of wine is poured, and the Sheva Brachot, the seven benedictions, is recited. After the benedictions are recited, the bride and groom sip from the second cup of wine. As the ceremony comes to an end, the groom smashes a glass under his right foot. This ritual symbolizes that the joy of his marriage cannot be complete until the holy temple is rebuilt. Following the ceremony, the bride and groom are taken into a room for privacy. This is known as yichud, to be completely alone for the first time as husband and wife. They break their fast by eating food that was prepared for them. Afterwards, they join their family and friends for a wedding feast that ends with the grace after meals and the Sheva Brachot. The festive meals continue for a week after the wedding in honor of the bride and groom. The Sheva Brachot are recited each day if a new guest is present, otherwise only one Brachot is made. The Gemara lists the Brachot Hasanim, the special Brachot, which are recited for 7 days after the wedding, and the Baracha of Asher Yatzar. We say that Hashem formed Adam in his image, and he established for him from his own flesh an everlasting building. This is referring to Chava. Rashi explains that Chava is called a binyan, a building, based on the verse Vayevin et Hatzelah, Genesis 2, verse 22. The Gemara in Brachot 61a says that the reason she is called a building is because all women are built differently than men in order to be able to carry a child. Similarly, we have found that when Boaz married Ruth, the people who witnessed the wedding blessed Boaz with the bracha that Hashem should make Ruth like Rachel and like Leah, who together built the house of Israel. This is found in Ruth 4, verse 11. Again, this is comparing the woman to a binyan. The nature of a woman as a binyan only manifests itself after she is married, when the man has the opportunity to serve as the builder and the woman has the opportunity to serve as the building, so to speak. Rav David Cohn points out that the roles of man and women are alluded to in their Hebrew titles. A grown man is called an ish, and a woman is called an isha. The Chachamim teach that what differentiates ish from isha is that the word ish contains the letter yud, and isha contains the letter he. This is found in Sota 17b. When the male child, the ben, gets married, he acquires the he of the woman, the isha making him into a boneh. He is involved in building the binyan. When the female child, the bat, gets married, she acquires the yud of the man, the ish, and she becomes the binyan, or beit, the foundation of the home. Thank you for listening to Jewish Marriage Practices. Shalom.